what Islamic Republic wants me to be. This is what Taliban and ISIS wants us to be. And this is my true self. In Iran, I was told if I take off my hijab, I will be hanged with my hair by God.
26-year-old Irfan Soltani is staring down the barrel of Iran's brutal hanging machine scheduled for January 14th, 2026, in what appears to be the regime's first public execution tied to the raging anti-Khamenei uprising that's been torching the streets since late December.
President Trump, please help.
I have to emphasize that among Iranian people, Trump is the most popular person right now. He has so much popularity because of the steps that he took toward preventing the growth of terrorism in the Middle East. They respect him. The internet blackout in Iran continues, making it difficult for people to get new information, although international calls were briefly going through overnight.
Soltani was arrested on January 8th during the protests and was slammed with a death penalty charge of waging war against God, the charge that the Islamic Republic loves to slap on anyone daring to demand freedom.
He was charged as a ringleader and has been sentenced to death. His death sentence is on Wednesday, the 14th of January, and he's scheduled to be executed by public hanging. Yes, he is going to be hanged from a crane for protesting against the regime. Believe it or not, there is something that you can do to stop it. This is not a new or experimental tactic. This is a tried and true tactic known to the Iranian diaspora, which we've been doing for many, many years and has almost always worked. The way to save his life is to make him famous.
No lawyer, no real trial, no appeal, just a lightning-fast kangaroo court verdict. His family was granted a pathetic 10-minute final farewell visit, and now the noose awaits as the first warning shot to terrorize the masses into silence amid a total communications blackout and reports of as many as 12,000 killed and roughly 20,000 arrested, according to the Human Rights Activist News Agency.
12,000 Iranians were just murdered by the Islamic regime in the past 72 hours. 12,000. That's more than twice the amount of American soldiers killed in the entire Iraq war. If that's not alarming to you, then I don't know what is. And this is what's getting them killed, simply supporting a man who wants nothing but secular democracy for Iran, otherwise known as freedom of speech, a right all humans should be naturally entitled to. These courageous individuals are willingly walking out, staring down evil directly in the face while stepping into pools of blood of their fallen brothers and sisters, and yet still refusing to stand down.
This isn't some fleeting spark over bread prices. It's the powder keg finally detonating after years of engineered economic collapse, the rial in free fall thanks to sanctions, unrelenting corruption, and that disastrous 12-day war with Israel last summer that left the nuclear program in ruins and the treasury bleeding dry. But here's the real horror show. The regime's goons are mowing down unarmed civilians with live ammo, bodies are stacking up in morgues and hospitals under a total internet blackout designed to hide the slaughter. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Welcome to the American Journal. Good morning, everyone. We're excited you're all with us today. A lot happening over here, so buckle up. We've got a jam-packed three-hour show heading your way in just a few moments. Congressman Barry Loudermilk will be joining the program. As many of you guys saw yesterday, there were those J6 hearings that officially launched. So we've got a lot to ask him on that front. He'll be here in about 30 minutes. So stay put. Also, we have Matt Tardy on with us to discuss Iran. Obviously, there's more information regarding all of that. Plus, you probably saw what happened yesterday in Minnesota. President Trump threatening to implement the Insurrection Act. So we'll get there in just a moment. A lot more happening here. We will also have Georgia Senator Colton Moore on the program, Logan Washburn, and Beau French. So buckle up. You got 3 hours of just jam-packed news stories coming your way. A lot more to discuss. Stay put. Here we go.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. A lot happening. Just moments ago, we're excited that you're all buckling up with us for the next 3 hours because we got quite the big show heading your way. As many of you guys probably saw yesterday, there were the J6 hearings going on. And it was eventful, obviously. I don't know. It was a repeat of everything we've kind of already known. But I've got a lot of questions, though, for the chairman of that committee, Barry Loudermilk, who's going to be joining us in just a few moments, about 25 minutes from now. Because I've got a lot I want to discuss with him. Obviously, the rogue prosecutors, they need to be held accountable. The FBI agents that were there that day, he called that out. And it was interesting. It was interesting to see. Also, Jamie Raskin, as many of you guys know, he's the individual who was on the last J6 committee. Well, he is still defending the work that was done by the previous committee, even though, you know, they deleted everything and they're trying to cover up everything and they lied to the American people. He still is covering for that. So we'll have Loudermilk on to discuss that. Plus, we'll be also discussing President Trump, who is apparently going to be potentially, I guess the exact words are, instituting potentially the Insurrection Act. It's another threat being made by the president of the United States for those who are carrying out massive protests in Minnesota. So we'll keep our eye on that. Matt Tardy will react to that. We'll also be joined by Georgia Senator Colton Moore in a little bit as well. Colton Moore is really excited about a piece of legislation that he's pushed through to protect the Second Amendment in Georgia, and it's about to be signed into law. So he'll be joining us to react to that. Plus, we'll also be joined by Logan Washburn, who's working on a story in Dallas, Texas, and it's an interesting story. Because it has to do with something that you've heard a lot about recently, the 764 group. And Logan Washburn is going to break down his latest report and what he's learning about this and the most recent arrest. We'll also be discussing how Americans just really don't like Islam. How do I know this? Well, the vast majority actually don't. I know a lot of people tend to think that that might not be the case. But there's a new Rasmussen report poll that was just released moments ago. And ultimately, it says 77% of voters are concerned about the influence of radical Islam in America, while 63% of U.S. voters oppose Muslims establishing their own communities here in the United States. So apparently, the fringe movement is mainstream. I mean, most Americans agree with us on this front. Beau French is running for office. He's running for the Texas Railroad Commissioner. He is also a very loud patriot. Many of you probably seen him on X. He's going to be joining us in a bit to discuss that as well. That will be in about 2 hours. So we've got a lot to discuss, a lot to sound off on. If you let's talk a little bit about what President Trump's up to right now. At 11 a.m. Eastern time, he'll be getting his intelligence briefing. If there's anything that goes live, I'll bring that to you. Then at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, he's actually going to be meeting with the woman who was apparently elected to lead in Venezuela, Maria Machado. He's expected to have lunch with her at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time today. And then after that, around like 4 p.m., President Trump will be participating in the 2025 Stanley Cup Championship appearance at the White House, which is the Florida Panthers. They'll be making their appearance over at the White House in a moment as well. So that's what the president has on his agenda for today. Probably should buckle up because I think there's going to be a lot happening on the front of, let's just say, the Insurrection Act. President Trump posted this on Truth Social moments ago. And it's quite interesting, the post. He's ultimately saying that they're trying to institutionalize or institute. The Insurrection Act, potentially, if the lawmakers in Minnesota don't get their act together. So that's what the president's saying. That's his message right now. And obviously, folks, if you saw what unraveled yesterday in Minnesota, you would probably want more of an aggressive take from the president. Now, what happened yesterday? Well, there was a shooting that took place, and obviously a lot of people are fired up about this. People who are ignorant don't understand how things work. DHS says that a federal law enforcement officer conducted a traffic stop in Minneapolis on a Venezuelan national, an illegal living here in the United States. Now, according to details that they've sent over late last night, it's quite the interesting, we have that tweet actually, it's quite the interesting details that they're sending our way. Specifically, the suspect apparently fled when these agents made contact with him. They fled on foot. The officers pursued him. When they caught up with him, he apparently was resisting arrest, became very violent towards the officer, striking the officer. And then apparently two other people, in addition to the one who was being apprehended, came out and struck the officer with a snow shovel and a broom handle. Again, these are people brainwashed by the corporate media to think that there's something going on here that shouldn't be taking place. Obviously, these are law enforcement officers who are now being assaulted on the regular basis. All three suspects fled back into an apartment, barricaded themselves inside. The assaulted federal officer and the injured suspects were taken. This is after one was shot, obviously. So obviously, the officer has to shoot, right? Because you're hitting him in the head with a shovel. It's three against one. His life is at risk. Very apparent, because you're assaulting him. You're trying to knock him out unconscious, or else you wouldn't be hitting him in the head with a shovel. He is a law enforcement officer who has a gun on his waist. God forbid if he loses consciousness for a couple of seconds. You could then take his firearm, shoot him, and kill him. So yeah, it's reasonable to open fire first at that point. A conglomerate of three morons come together to attack a federal agent. Then that federal agent defends himself and shoots, open fire, shoots the suspect who was assaulting him. And if you're in Minnesota, you saw protests get really, really kind of crazy last night because of it. It's just, we've got to stop. This is why, first off, this is why the Biden regime intentionally shuffled in and imported low IQ people, because they're the people who are sitting here saying, oh, this is all justifiable. It's not justifiable, obviously. You can't sit there and take a shovel and hit a federal agent over the head, then not expect him to react. We literally are living with the stupidest human beings on the face of this earth. I mean, that's what's going on in this country right now. And we're pretending like their opinions actually matter. Their opinions don't matter. Why? Because they're low IQ people. Now, yesterday, Nick Sorter posted a video and allegedly shows rioters stealing what appears to be a rifle. And according to his report, this is a car that is a federal owned car. I don't know what agency it is. You effing morons. By the way, guy with the face tattoo probably can't legally own a gun. But they all start stealing, obviously. Why not? Why not? It wasn't just that. They didn't just steal, you know, a rifle and a couple other things. They also took a lot of key documents, which may have said a lot of very important government-sensitive information. So it's interesting to see that the president is threatening to implement the Insurrection Act. I'd say you could probably go with it at this point. These are terrorists who are taking over, folks. These are people who are literally out there trying to kill federal agents for carrying out and following, obviously, immigration laws. So no. I'd say let's be done with the threats. Let's actually go out there and start knocking some heads. Now, it's interesting because when you listen to these people, and again, this is why I keep calling them low IQ, because they're not very intelligent. When you listen to these people, when you put a microphone in front of their faces and you say, why are you here tonight? Well, you get a whole bunch of lies, But I actually don't even think a lot of them are actually doing the lying. I think that they've been lied to themselves. And so you're going to hear in clip one, a protester just spew a whole bunch of nonsense on CNN last night. Take a listen.
Well, from my house, like where I live in my apartment, they come in without warrants, without official anything. They just come in and barge into people's houses, gunned, armed up with no one being spoke to or anything, masked up. This is kidnapping and everything above. That is not okay.
What does it feel like, you know, when you wake up in the morning? Are you scared? Are you anxious?
I am very scared. I'm worried that I'm not even able to go to school and feel safe. And just walking outside my building or even walking outside my front door before heading outside the building is very scary. Like, I can't go to school without feeling worried that I'm going to be taken at any moment and any second in my life.
What kind of impact do you think that you can make as an individual here?
To be honest, I'm not sure, but speaking up to the people who cannot speak up and showing that I'm supported, not supporting what's going on right now.
Okay.
Listen, she shouldn't be blaming those ICE agents for not wanting to go to school. She's clearly uneducated. She clearly needs to be there. What are you afraid of, girl? Are you an illegal alien? Are you not supposed to be here? CNN loves sitting here and playing this victimhood card. I'm over it. I'm over it. Done. You have to be a moron to believe that. If they're just showing up, breaking into homes, grabbing people in the middle of the night. You know the grabbing? Pedophiles, murderers, rapists. It's interesting to sit back and watch, though, what's unraveling right now in Minnesota. I just can't believe we have people in this country that are this stupid. I think that's the real depressing part in all of this, right? Is the having to understand that these people are just low IQ human beings who we don't know how they got into this country in the first place. But most importantly, well, we know. But most importantly, these people are trying to destroy this country. They're doing their very best to do just that. And then you have the morons who work within our federal government who actually align with their views on all of this. You know, yesterday we talked about a story about how six prosecutors were really infuriated about the failure. This is, you know, how they view it. The failure of the DOJ to go out there and investigate whether the ICE agent violated the rights of Renee Good when he was defending his life. You know, that same ICE agent, by the way, who was hit by her vehicle that she decided to hit the gas and go right into him. And whether you think it's a debatable topic, whether he was hit or not, well, now we know he was actually suffering from internal bleeding, according to officials. So the Civil Rights Division over at the DOJ, not happy that they weren't able to investigate this ICE agent who is obviously defending his life, but they're looking, maybe can we get hit him with some civil rights violation charges, which is obviously very vague intentionally. And it's meant to instill fear into these agents' heads so that when they do come against someone like Renee Good again, they don't think, let me protect myself. Let me fend for myself. No, that's what they don't want you doing. They want these people killed. That's what they're doing here. When an ICE agent is hit by a car, they don't care. They cheer. They love it. Why? Because we're dealing with demons in this country. Actual demons. So over at the DOJ, the Civil Rights Division, they're not very happy. Why? Well, they're not happy because Pam Bondi won't let them go after that ICE agent and try to ruin his life by opening up a BS civil rights investigation. And so as a result of all of that, six prosecutors have resigned, which I think is a massive win for the administration. Now, in clip two, Pam Bondi details specifically what all this is about. Take a listen.
Move on to Minnesota. You have multiple employees now that have resigned. They didn't like the fact that there's an investigation into some of these groups. We call it astroturfing. There are different groups, even crowds that you can purchase, believe it or not, which is insane. And they didn't want to be a part of this. And you need to get to the bottom of is who might be financing the instances that would be putting ICE agents' lives in jeopardy. Isn't that legitimate? That seems legitimate to me, especially in light of, you know, an 8,000% increase in the threat level and a 1,300% increase in, you know, attacks against these guys.
Yeah. Sean, we support Secretary Noem. We support our men and women of Homeland Security and ICE who are out there taking predators off the street every day around the country, and they're doing it in Minnesota. What happened in Minnesota? We had six prosecutors who suddenly decided they didn't want to support the men and women in ICE. One of them was busy doing a photo shoot with the New York Times while ICE was out there risking their lives. So they came, they said, we want to resign, but we want to use our annual leave up until April, meaning they wanted the taxpayers to pay for them to go on vacation because they decided they didn't want to support law enforcement. So the breaking news tonight, I fired them all. They're fired from the office. And our U.S. attorney there, Rosen, he's great. He was just confirmed 3 months ago. So he has his hands full. And that's what we're facing around the country, the deep state, in many of these offices. And we learned these people had been out there interviewing at liberal law firms prior to this. But I'll tell you what, from a personnel level, they'd be an HR nightmare. So people better look into them. One of them actually in 2022 defended BLM when they burned down a pawn shop and someone was murdered. Yeah, they want to be part of the resistance. Yeah, bring it on. They're not going to be working for Donald Trump and the Department of Justice any longer.
Ah, so they're fired. Good, good. I'm just so done with all these people, man. And good on Pam Bondi for doing that. It's just so ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. And that's going to be a heck of a referral, by the way. You know, when your former employer goes out there and says, this person's a HR nightmare. It's a nice little nugget to sneak in there, of course. We found this clip, and it's going to give you a good laugh, because it gave me a good laugh this morning. Clip three. You know, there's this one liberal woman, and, you know, I'm sorry, we can't do voice changes with this one. She has a natural screech to her voice, and probably why no men will probably want to be around her, but she's out here screaming at ICE agents. And it's just, it's so dumb that it's amazing, mainly because of the response of one ICE agent who decided to yell back at her. Take a listen.
Sir, tell me your name. This is unacceptable.
Okay.
Absolutely unacceptable. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. This is not appropriate. This is my country. I'm here legally. Okay. These people, you never ask for proof. You are a bad, evil person. You need to be expunged. You need to go to another country. You need to know what it looks like. Instead, you're pulling over innocent people, not asking for any ID, and just hauling them off. You all should be ashamed. How do you go home to children, to friends, to family? Do you tell them what you do for a living? That you arrest people without cause? That you just pick them up, put them in a truck? Is that what you do? Are you proud of yourself for doing this? Are you absolutely proud?
Thank you for calling the ICE
hotline. Are you proud of this? Are you proud? You are an idiot. You do not deserve to walk the face of this earth. None of you. You are fools.
Yeah, did you hear that? You are fools. Oh my gosh. Thank you for calling the ICE hotline. Yes. These people are unbearable. They're miserable. I just don't think we could share a country with people that don't understand the fact that we have imported the worst of the worst. All of our lives are at risk because of all of this. And what does it mean? Well, it means that we need to get rid of them. That's what it means. It means that these people need to get shipped out. That's what it means. Can we really sit here and talk to these people? Can we live amongst them? I don't think we can. I don't think we can. It's just a whole new level of stupidity that I think is very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I don't want to live amongst these people. I'm not sure if you guys do at home, but I could tell you this. I'm hitting my max. You know, we talk about this all the time, and it's like, when they're that stupid, when they're that ignorant, when they sit there and feel the need to pull over and start screaming at ICE agents, screaming at federal agents like that, what were you doing under Barack Obama? You weren't doing any of that. You weren't. If you're wondering actually who's being swept up in all of this, take a look at this story. This was a very interesting story in regards to what ICE is picking up. They're picking up the trash. They're picking up the trash. This individual was arrested in New York. His name, Wahid Allah Mohammed, was picked up in Rochester, New York. He's an Afghan man who initially did come to the country legally, but then due to the fact that he decided to stab his sister for being a bad Muslim girl. You know, obviously, when you do something like that, was stripped of his citizenship or whatever his legal status was. And then he was ordered for removal back in 2012. So we have a man who is living in our country, who stabbed his sister, which is obviously his attempt at an honor killing, by the way, which I was told we don't do in this country. We don't have those in this country, but apparently we do. Because Mohammed tried to kill his own sister for being a, quote, bad Muslim girl. Because, you know, she decided that she wanted to dress however she wanted to dress. She wanted to go out at nightclubs, and he couldn't tolerate that, saying that she was a disgrace to the family. And so back in 2009, I don't even know why we let these people out of prison. They're animals. They're barbarians. Toss them into the ocean. Let the sharks get at them. He was convicted in 2009 for first degree attempted murder and first degree assault. He was only sentenced to 10 years in prison. And what the heck is wrong with our court systems when a man literally is trying to do an honor killing here in the United States? And we say, eh, she didn't die. We'll let you get back out there soon. Well, thank God ICE picked him up. Again, we're hoping that when it comes to that deportation flight, maybe just drop him over the Pacific. Don't even bring him back to their country. Why? Because they'll find another way to get here in whenever there's another Democrat in the White House who's allowing these people to fully come into our country without any vetting at all. So great on ICE for sweeping up this guy, taking out the trash. But if you really want to complete the mission, right over the Pacific. But this is the type of garbage that's being swept up right now in all of this. The people who are sitting there telling you, ICE is crossing a line. DHS is crossing a line. You know, it's crossing a line, stabbing your sister and saying that she's a bad Muslim and trying to do an honor killing here in the United States. That's crossing a line. We live in very interesting times, though, folks. We really, really do. I just don't know when we're going to hit rock bottom with these people. We all start to realize, all right, are we really going to keep sharing a country with them? Because I don't want to. I don't want to. Right, there are Democrats. We can have political disagreements, but we're talking about people that want us dead. We're talking about people that want us to import more people that want us dead. I'm hitting my limit with all of them. All right, guys, we've got a lot more to discuss in just a bit. Congressman Barry Loudermilk will be joining the program in just a few moments, so stay put. Obviously, I started the J6 committee hearing kicked off. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also be talking to a great lineup of guests. Matt Tardio joining the show. Georgia Senator Colton Moore also joining the show today. Logan Washburn and Beau French joining us. I don't know if you saw it. Rasmussen Report just put out a new poll, and the vast majority of Americans do think Islam is a threat to the United States, most importantly to their way of life. We will break down that poll as well in just a moment. So buckle up. A lot more to discuss. In the meantime, though, head on over right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Our gift to you is you'll receive a free hat with every purchase, no minimum to spend. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Claim your free hat when you make a purchase over at the shop. Hurry on over right now. It's while supplies last. Plus, 2 days remain in that giveaway for that F-250 Ford Raptor and the black Ford F-250, plus $20,000 in cash over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other
stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, they go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. Just a few moments, we're going to turn to the chairman of that J6 committee we've been talking about, Mr. Barry Loudermilk, is joining the program today. We're excited to have him on the show. But let's give you some overview, because yesterday was the first hearing for that new Republican-led House Select Subcommittee on January 6th. Now, many of us, well, we've got a lot of questions that we're looking for answers to, and that is the goal of all of this. Now, Loudermilk did some grilling yesterday in regards to the FBI agents, the individuals that were there that day, because, well, a lot of us want to know exactly what their roles were on January 6th. Now, Congressman Loudermilk did grill an individual who worked for the DOJ, who spent about 17 years over at the DOJ, Michael Roman, about all of this. Take a listen.
Over 100 FBI agents were put deployed as crowd control, which is something that they're really not supposed to do, according to after action reports that we've read. That apparently was never made public during the trials. Did you ever have an FBI agent, one of those agents there, testify on behalf of the defense or the prosecution?
I had FBI agents testify. Typically, they were case agents who were part of the investigative team.
These agents would have been witnesses.
No.
Because they were in the crowd, but nobody knew they were in the crowd.
The witnesses who testified in my cases were typically Capitol Police and MPD officers.
Okay. what I'm getting at is, why would they be someone who could be compelled to testify as a witness had it been known that they were there witnessing some of this?
If they were used for crowd control, I'd be skeptical.
But they were inside the Capitol when things were going on. Would they not be a witness either for defense or prosecution?
It's possible.
And if the FBI held that back, that they were there, is that not withholding evidence that could be exculpatory?
I would struggle to think how it's exculpatory. Most things in the Capitol were recorded by cameras, which we produced.
But there are plenty of areas that are not covered by cameras. I've watched most of the footage.
There's a lot there. Number one, the DOJ did a lot of just evil things to these defendants, mainly dumping a bunch of evidence on them to the very final hours before their trials began. And the judge is obviously allowing that to fly by. But there were so many things that took place to so many of these J6 defendants that needs to be called out. So joining me now to discuss is Chairman Loudermilk. He did an incredible job yesterday at the hearing, and we are excited to have him on the program today. Welcome back, my friend. It's exciting to have you back on the show. You know, you have a lot going on over there, over at your subcommittee right now. So we know you got your work cut out for you, but you did a great job yesterday at grilling him on something that I think is very, very important. And specifically, it's how J6ers were treated during their criminal trials. A lot of them weren't given the evidence that they needed, or they were given it to the very last moments before their trials actually began. And it became very overwhelming for them, but they didn't know the role of the FBI and the agents that were there that day, what actually played. And I think that's something that's also a really key element to all of this. What did you learn from yesterday's hearing? What are you continuing to learn?
We're learning that there are so many layers of this onion of January 6th that we just have to keep peeling back layer by layer if we're going to get to the truth. And that's really what we want to get to. But what I was getting at with Mr. Romano is that the statute says that even if there's the potential of exculpatory evidence, that those witnesses have to be allowed. And what we have learned since the DOJ has admitted that they deployed, I think it was 147 agents. Now, these are FBI agents. They are not your typical law enforcement that does crowd control. They do not have the equipment. They're wearing their suits, right? The DOJ had actually used them for that purpose during the earlier riots, the BLM riots that were in D.C. And the agents kind of stood up to them. This is not what we're supposed to be used for. We're not for crowd control. So after action reports that we've read said that, you know, the FBI committed they wouldn't do that again, but then they did it on January 6th. You know, things were going on, so they deployed these agents, and they were in the crowd trying to help, you know, bring peace. But the point is, they were witnessing a lot of the things that were going on. And the fact that the DOJ kept it quiet, that they were even there, did not allow the defense to call in any of these agents as witnesses, which could have testified on either side, for or against. But from some informants that we've had, there were agents who would have liked to testify for the defense on some of these that were being prosecuted because they just trespassed. And other, we've got several people that didn't even go in the Capitol that have been convicted on various charges. But what I was trying to get across there is, how can you do all these prosecutions when the witnesses were held back because the DOJ would not even let the judicial branch know that they were those witnesses there? So I think there's a case there that due process was not given to some of these defendants. And we need to carefully look at this, because the other thing that I think we learned there is that there's a high potential that there was a lot of political influence going on at the Department of Justice, as well as within the FBI from the Biden administration on several things, from the FBI's investigation or lack of investigation to the pipe bombs, to their aggressiveness going after those that trespassed.
Yeah, and I think this is all really important that we need to kind of hash these things out, because a lot of these key players who, especially at the DOJ, are still actually working for these agencies, and it's really, really concerning. I wanted to get your take on this, because I know, you know, thankfully the FBI Director Kash Patel, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, they all spoke out at a report that we actually put out on January 6th regarding a woman who didn't even go into the Capitol on January 6th. It's really, really unfortunate, but Christine Crowder was the woman, we actually had her here in studio to talk about her case. She was investigated based on a bad tip that was given to the FBI. Now, she was investigated for over 2 years. They even put her on a TSA terror watch list, but they didn't have any evidence that she went to the Capitol that day. It was a bad photo that they used of another woman claiming to be her. But Crowder is, and it's devastating, but she is also like partially paralyzed. I don't know how else to say it, but she's partially paralyzed on the left side of her body. So she's unable to lift her left arm up. This would be something that the FBI, if they would have just quickly went over to talk to her, would have noticed. They would have noticed also that she has a little bit of a different walk. So they would have known that that wasn't her in the images that were being pushed. But to get to the core of all of this, over at the DOJ, there's an individual named Kenneth Corder, who was the senior counsel of the Capitol Siege Section. And this is what's really concerning, because he actually moved Crowder over to be prosecuted. This is the email that I've obtained, where he's directing those at the DOJ to put her in a folder to be prosecuted later, even though they had no evidence that she actually entered the Capitol that day. Now, Congressman, I wanted to ask you about this, because, you know, Kenneth Corder still works over at the DOJ. And I'm told by sources, once we put up this email, so many people at the DOJ kept calling me saying, don't let up on this, Brianna, because this individual was the one who was going after all these J6ers with very limited pieces of evidence, a lot of ethical related questions. But he's still at the DOJ right now. Are you concerned that Kenneth Corder, who is still employed by the DOJ, shouldn't be there in the first place?
It's just not there. I think that there are people within the federal government in a broad spectrum that we have to identify who these bad players are, and we need to get them out of there. We've got a situation right now, Brianna, that I've never seen in this country before. I mean, my father's a World War II veteran, a combat veteran, who's a medic. I grew up in a very patriotic family, a strong Christian household, brought up on strong morals, and one of those is that our government is the greatest government in the history of the world. It's a nation to be proud of. And we've gotten to a place because of things like this that Americans are not proud of their government anymore as much as they're scared of it. And we need to shift that back to give the American people something to be proud of in their country, not scared of their government. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson said that when the people fear their government, there's tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there's liberty. And we have to have more accountability. And that's why committees like the one I'm leading now and the one I led in the last Congress are so important. And Congress has to restructure the way that we do oversight and investigation. And that's one thing that I've been very proud of is I've had some of the media say that we've rewritten the book on how to do oversight and investigation. It's not just having a hearing here and there and then write a report and move on. It's sticking with it and getting to the truth, exposing the truth, and then working with the administration to hold people accountable. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that, because it's really frustrating to hear these key people are still in positions of power. And, you know, we need to get back to being able to trust the DOJ, the FBI. And I know they have their work cut out for them, but we look forward to continuing to talk about that. But speaking of that and holding people accountable, you know, Jamie Raskin is obviously an individual who we've been very critical over the years in regards to how he was, you know, operating under the J6 committee previously. But he laid out something that I thought was quite strange yesterday during the hearing. Take a listen.
Nobody's laid a glove on a single sentence in the report of the January 6th Select Committee. Not one. And I defy anyone to challenge that statement. I would love to see someone show how anything we have found has been contradicted.
Okay, so I'm going to give this one to you, Chairman, because he's looking for a challenge. Do you challenge that claim? Because I'd say a lot of people would probably push back on that a little bit.
We don't have enough time to go through all of what we have just uncovered that were absolute lies or misrepresentation in their committee report. And I brought some of those up in my closing yesterday. I mean, one that was personal was their attack against me, claiming that I was part of the insurrection by giving reconnaissance tours the day before, which was merely a family with small children and some of their guests that came to visit me in my office, and I took them to lunch at the public cafeteria, and they never went in the Capitol. They just stayed in the office buildings, and somehow that became very suspicious, and they launched a full investigation. But the issue was, when I took over the committee in the last Congress, I received all of the evidence that they had obtained on these people from Georgia. Most of them had never been to Washington, D.C. before. They were here as visitors. They subpoenaed them. They took their phone records. They took emails and videos and pictures off of their phones. They even called some of them in for depositions. But what they learned is there was nothing to their accusation. But that was a month before they made the accusation. You see, they knew that there was nothing to it. They still made the accusation because it fit well within their predetermined narrative. And I mean, this thing was personal because we ended up getting 200 death threats within a few days of that. They labeled me as a traitor to the country. I mean, this is how relentless and ruthless this committee was. The Capitol Police took the same evidence and the same video footage. They looked at it and said, there's not even anything close to being suspicious here. There is nothing here. But still, of course, the mainstream media ran with it. We had Mr. Raskin's claim in the committee room that Donald Trump refused to send the Department of Defense. We've blown that sky high several times, and I was able to close with that. No, we have the evidence, even from General Milley himself, that Donald Trump ordered the National Guard to be deployed on January 3rd. He sent the order he basically delegated that responsibility to the Department of Defense and gave them the authority to send whatever resources they needed to keep the people safe on January 6th. Several things in their report were refuted, even in the committee hearing yesterday. But here's the thing about the Democrats. They are so good at telling a lie, and they just continue doing it over and over and over again. And in the past, they've been better at telling lies than we have been telling the truth. But we need to do the same thing with the truth. Just continue to put it out there and make them defend it. And so I that was kind of flabbergasted that he made that statement, especially as we were sitting in the room shooting holes through their report left and right, but they still withstand, knowing that there's so much false in their report, that they would still make that statement.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's insane, but it's expected. And we're going to play a little bit later in the show, a clip of him being confronted yesterday by a reporter. And it didn't go too well for him, and he did remain silent on that front. But before you go, Congressman, because I know you have a lot on your plate these days, I wanted to ask you in regards to Capitol Police, because obviously we're learning more and more about the pipe bomber situation. And a lot of Americans want to know, specifically due to the overwhelming evidence of Capitol Police intelligence, what's going on in regards to all of this? Are Capitol Police going to be held accountable? Because they based on what we're hearing, it sounds like that they were well aware, and based on the footage too about the pipe bomb that was being placed down, obviously they didn't really act very quickly on it. It's all quite strange. But is there any accountability that will come from the police response in regards to Capitol Police? I know also after we had you on the show last time, there's a lot of footage that's now missing from that incident that took place, and that's something that we were deeply concerned about. So is there any accountability going to be pointed maybe towards Capitol Police in their response that day?
Depends on what evidence that we pull up. I mean, there's so many different elements of the Capitol Police. The majority of the frontline officers did their job, and they did it honorably that day. And there's a lot of intelligence that we're still trying to pull. We do believe there's more video out there, that we're going to be looking at the videos. And there's, you know, we have concerns with every element of law enforcement, whether it's mostly just from, is it their incompetence? I mean, you have the Secret Service, where what they're supposed to have, the best bomb dogs in the world, pass by the device four or five times. Either the dog never hit on it, or the Secret Service agent never responded to the dog hitting. There's so many questions still up in the air. I mean, you even have the situation that we're looking at right now, of where there was, as one of the members of my committee, I think it was Morgan Griffith from Virginia, he brought up is that when they put the quarantine around the area where the pipe bomb is, it was as porous as our southern border has been, where civilians were just walking around the tape or under the crime scene tape and walking within feet of the pipe bomb, and no one was stopping them. But on the other hand, there were barricades that were in the building next to it that the Capitol Police Chief had ordered to be brought to the Capitol, but they couldn't get through because of the shutting down the roads and everything. So there are so many other incidents that we have to look at. And, you know, we're going to provide our report. And unfortunately, the accountability is not part of the congressional action, especially for executive level branches. It is for anything that's in the legislative branch. But we're going to get the truth out, and we're going to, you know, lay it out, not only for the powers that be here, but also to the American people. And we will push to hold accountable anyone who is involved.
Yeah, well, we look forward to that. And before you go, actually, because it just came to my mind, I wanted to ask about the J6 pipe bomber suspect, the prosecutor that's prosecuting him. Obviously, she's someone who a lot of people are deeply concerned about because there's accusations that she was someone who was involved in the, obviously, she was the prosecutor for the Proud Boys, and there's a lot of misconduct that's been alleged there. Are you concerned by who's prosecuting the J6 pipe bomber case currently? Do you have faith in them?
Well, I'm gonna defer to Pam Bondi on that one, and the Department of Justice as well as the FBI is that they're gonna follow protocol. My greater concern right now is how the defense is trying to align this. Is this pipe bomber was a MAGA, you know, sympathizer, and that he was all about Trump. When I think what we're hearing from the actual testimony of him and from the FBI is that he was kind of apolitical. He was just mad at everybody. But the reason that his attorney is trying to make him into this radical Trump supporter is because they're trying to make it where he will receive one of the pardons, that he would fit within that pardon window of what President Trump did in his first few days in office. And so I think it's probably a smart strategy on behalf of the defense is to make him into this. But I think as more and more investigation is done, that'll probably unravel.
Congressman, we appreciate your hard work on all of this. Obviously, you've got your work cut out for you, so we appreciate you joining us today. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right, folks, let's play that clip. Kara Castanova's done an incredible job at grilling certain members of Congress who maybe think that there's no accountability coming their way. She does a great job at confronting them. She works for Lindell TV, and she's doing just that in clip 11. Take a listen.
Hi, Mr. Raskin. How are you? Fantastic hearing. You did a great job spreading the same lies from the first J6 on Select Committee. Do you care about women that get beaten to death by police? Like Roseanne Boylan, did you know that this woman was killed by J6 police? This is her picture. Do you care? Do you not care? I guess you figure your pardon, that AutoPen pardon, must keep you sleeping at night, sir? Sir, do you think that you might go to jail possibly for your J6 crimes?
Are you still advocating for civil war conditions, or is that over, sir?
Thanks for the lies, Congressman. Keep spreading the propaganda.
And what about Roseanne Keeps, Boylan?
What about Roseanne Boylan that was killed by Capitol Police?
Jocelyn Valentine?
Folks, they don't like that. They don't like it when you hit them with the tough questions. I got to say, Kara Castanova, she's a fellow New Yorker, Long Island girl. She gets it. She doesn't mind confronting these people. Jamie Raskin, obviously, yesterday during the hearing, was just spewing nothing but lies. And there was more of it, too. Well, actually, we'll play clip 10, because this gets interesting, right? Because he's trying to talk about the pipe bomber, too. And he's used this whole J6 committee platform to push nothing but lies. And it's interesting when he angles this. If you remember, under the first J6 committee, he did this whole theatrical performance. They sat there and put evidence in front of the American people that wasn't actual evidence that would ever make its way into a courtroom because it was factually untrue. It was inaccurate. It was lies. But he did it anyway. Why? Because he wanted to jaint a jury pool. But now all of a sudden, Jamie Raskin is telling the American people that we need to hold off because you need to make sure that the J6 pipe bomber suspect, Brian Cole, that his jury pool isn't tainted with poor information. Take a listen to clip 10.
Now, of course, the prosecution of Brian Cole, the pipe bomb suspect, remains ongoing. The full facts of the case have not yet emerged. And under our criminal justice system, of course, he's presumed innocent until proven guilty. And so this hearing is at best premature. I hope certainly it does nothing to recklessly endanger the prosecution of Mr. Cole. But here's what we do know. We know that Brian Cole voted for Donald Trump twice. We know that, in his own words, he was inspired and incited by Donald Trump's big lie, the pathetic lie that the 2020 election had been stolen, a lie that has been debunked and repudiated by more than 60 different federal and state court decisions across the land, and every court that's looked at it and, of course, was rejected by the Congress of the United States as well. Mr. Cole told investigators he was in D.C. because he was going to protest in support of Donald Trump. He told the FBI that he believed the narrative that Trump had spread, and if the election was indeed tampered with, quote, someone needs to speak up, right? Well, like the thousands of Trump supporters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, Mr. Cole did something more than just speak up. He set what the FBI concluded were viable explosive devices on Capitol Hill, mere feet away from where thousands of people live and work and drop their kids off at daycare.
It's worth noting that the DOJ hasn't yet actually done an estimate in regards to those viable explosives. It's interesting, right? Because it's years after everything. And when the judge actually asked them in court during one of the most recent hearings for Brian Cole Jr., what would be the estimate for the damages that would have been done if these explosives would have went off? And the DOJ said, we don't know. I have a feeling that they're hiding something. And obviously with Jamie Raskin pushing that narrative, I could promise you that they are probably hiding something. I don't think we're being told the honest truth in regards to the pipe bomber story. I still have not been sold that the suspect that they're accusing is the suspect. And again, folks, if I am not convinced that the individual that you've just arrested for the J6 pipe bombs is the person, then how the heck are you going to convince a liberal jury that this is the suspect? Folks, I don't think that they're getting anywhere with this. I also love the fact that Jamie Raskin is trying to drum up the narrative. He's a Trump supporter. If you look at his family, if you look at everything, the family said, no, he's not into politics, not his thing. And then you have members of a family who are obviously Dems. Doesn't make sense. But I guess they're just hoping that it only makes sense if you're not thinking about it. So they're just hoping the rest of us are just going to spoon feed this narrative and just say, all right, we're just going to take it. We're just not even going to think about this. Again, I think your government's lying to you. Surprise, surprise. Surprise, surprise. Folks, we're going to keep following the story, obviously, as many of you guys saw. We're not letting up on this anytime soon. Thank you to the chairman, Barry Loudermilk, by the way, for coming on the show and answering these questions. Obviously, the question about the DOJ official is a very tough question to have to answer for, given the fact that, yeah, there's a lot of unknown factors in all of this. But boy, are we on to something big? We're on to something big. All right, folks. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We're giving away a free hat with every purchase. No minimum spending required over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there. There's a couple of more hours left in this sale over at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you also have just 2 days remaining to get those entries in for that F-250 Ford Raptor, the black Ford F-250 as well, plus $20,000 in cash. Why not head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and get a little richer potentially?
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at the alexjonesstore.com.